Joining you live tonight. Glad to have you in here on a rainy evening here in East Tennessee. Got a great program for you. Going to be part three of Adam before the world was. There was a world before Adam. It existed. And then the fallen state. Here we are, ladies and gentlemen, still in that fallen state. We're wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. Tonight, the sons of light are battling the sons of darkness. This is a continuing warfare, and we've got a purpose. And, you know, some people say, why did God make man? Why were you born? You ever thought about that? What's God's purpose for your life? What does our existence have to do at death? Do we live? Is there something beyond the grave for those who are chosen? What is the ultimate eternal destiny? Did you know that the vast majority of man, and even those who profess to believe in Jesus, never understand or grasp what the Bible teaches concerning the questions that I've just asked? They simply do not know what the Bible really says about God's plan for those that will reach their full potential. After the Bible says, be not deceived, for God is not mocked. Whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Did you know that a lot of false teachings start from the sons of darkness? Did you know that Yahweh talked about those created beings, that there was a world of chaos that we came into before we had a choice. Did you have a choice in coming? Did you have a choice in leaving? No. Once man born of a woman, few days and full of troubles, you didn't ask for this. You got it. How are we going to cope? Well, that's the whole question. Now, why do we live in a world of escalating trouble? It seems like when one problem appears to be solved, like the election, now we think that we're back on the right track. We've got the Republicans now in a majority in most of the political seats. But nothing ain't going to change. You know why? Because man is unable to solve his problems. History would reveal that civilizations that have been before us have always progressively grown worse. No different today. The Bible says in the last days, man will wax worse and worse. For those who are being born in today's world, I mean, I was born in the 30s, and it's vastly different from those who are born in the now. Today's world is much like starting a book at its last chapter, or breaking into a movie just before the end, the climax. It's almost as you are in an age of now filled with awesome technological advancements that were not back in the 30s when I was born, and it's hard to fathom how anyone could have lived before our time without electricity, air conditioning, automobiles, air travel, cameras or cell phones or computers or MP3 players. It's unthinkable that we could live in a world without that. And yet, here we are, threatened with total annihilation from nuclear warfare. You know, we have a nuclear power plant not far from where I live, and today the alarm went off. It was a test, I guess. I didn't ask. But, I mean, that thing sounded like it was right in your ear. It was screaming bloody murder. Run, 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 run. That's what you wanted to do. And it was all in the, it was in the heavens. It reverberated throughout this valley here. Now, what if it had been the real thing? What are we creating for ourselves in this society with violence, rampant violence, crime, drug use, sexual perversions? Millions are living discontented lives, having no hope. They're on drugs. The county that I just left is so filled with drug problems. And yet, no one can solve these problems because it's a sign of the times. Now, did the Bible, or does the Bible, characterize the world that we live in today? And does it give us a hope? Paul said in the book of Galatians chapter 1 verse 4, it says that there was a man who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from the present evil world. What evil world? I mean, you look at the world today, you drive down the road and it's beautiful. You don't see no evil, except in that your misfortune, you could run into a rapist, a murderist, a drug deal going astray, some kind of evil perversion around you. Everything looks innocent until you run into these things. And ladies and gentlemen, if you live in this world, here's what Paul said, know this, in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy. You know that we're in those days. How are we faring here? Our minds are continuously bombarded with darkness. We hear these frightening and sad state of the affairs of man today, politically, spiritually, and physically. People are living on the streets, no homes, no jobs, despair. We're reaping wars, violence, suffering, social ills. You see a direct result of mankind choosing to follow the darkness or the way of darkness. And so then it's still a battle between darkness and light. Now, in 2 Timothy, it says again, to repeat this, chapter 3, verse 1 through 4, know this, in the last days, perilous times shall come. Now, this nuclear siren that went off, I mean, just the sound was everywhere in the heavens. What if that had been a nuclear warning or a nuclear war? What would you have done? Are we living by the laws of Yahweh? It shall come to pass if you shall diligently hearken unto the voice of Yahweh to observe and to do all His commandments which I command you this day, that Yahweh will set you on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you hearken unto the voice of Yahweh. You shall be blessed in the city and blessed in the field. You shall be blessed of the fruit of your body and the fruit of the ground and the fruit of the cattle, the increase of your cattle and the flocks of the herd and or the brood. And you shall have your basket full in the storehouse. We talked about that in our law reading on the altar of Yahweh here last week at the Festival of Tabernacles. Blessed are you when you go out, and blessed are you when you come in. Yahweh shall cause your enemies that rise up against you to be smitten before your face. What was going on in the days prior to Noah? There was wars. There was evil. There was perversions. There was ever evil intention of the children of darkness. And today, we are at a time of trouble, which the sign of the end of the world is imminent. We are here in the last days, going through this time of trouble, and we are in this stage. But it shall come to pass, if you will not hearken unto the voice of Yahweh. You see, there's good and evil. Choose this day who you'll serve. The sons of darkness are wanting you to go with the world. Forget Yahweh. His promises is He's not going to fulfill any promises. If you do good, you're going to suffer the consequences. If you do evil, you might get ahead. It's dog eat dog. Do unto others before they do unto you. This type of theory. But Yahweh says, for those who remain faithful, I will bless going in and coming out and fill your basket and bless the fruit of your body. But for those who will not obey the commandments that I command you this day, these things shall overtake you. Cursed, shall thou be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the field. Cursed shall be the basket in your store. Cursed shall be the fruit of the body, and the fruit of the land, the increase of your cattle and the flocks, your sheep. Cursed shall thou be when you come in, and cursed shall thou be when you go out. Deuteronomy 28:15-19. I set before you a blessing and a curse. I set before you light and darkness. That's the contrast of the choices that we have. It's a paradox of the opposites. If you want to suffer, you see, there's a certain temptation in living that you just say, oh, to hell with it all. I just might as well join the wicked, because it's they that are prospering. And yet the Bible says, marvel not if the wicked prosper. How's the wicked prospering? They take that which doesn't rightly belong to them, and they prosper off of your blessings. Now the Bible says, do not give place to the devil. You know, sometimes we will support the devil to the point that we bring these curses upon ourselves, and we find ourselves having to flee. There's only two ways of life. One is the way of guilt. The other is the way of get. The way of guilt causes one to have outgoing love and concern for the well-being of other people. It's Yahweh's way, and it's part of His great law, which has been summed up repeatedly. Thou shalt love Yahweh, and if you love Yahweh, you will love your brother. And if you say you love Yahweh, whom you've not seen, and you don't love your brother whom you have, how dwelleth? Now, ever since that we have come to the fork in the road, and it seems like we have taken the wrong path out of the Garden of Eden, what instructions did Yahweh give Adam concerning, and Yahweh planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there He put the man whom He had formed out of the ground, formed out of the ground, and Yahweh made to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now we know that this is a figuratively analogy of Yahweh, who was the tree of life. Man chose the wrong fork in the road, and it's interesting that the tree has a fork that represents the cross or the Y, in other words, separation of the ways, and the Y in the Hebrew letter has this Y, or this fork. The knowledge that you have and the knowledge that is given to man, because we're destroyed for the lack of it, he was cleverly, deceptively deceived into doubting the word of Yahweh, and it led to the disobeying of His commandments. And those things, and Adam, being the type of fellow that he was, chose to make an excuse. The woman gave to me. Notice this in the book of Revelation. And the dragon was cast out, that old serpent, the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's a powerful saying right there. The devil that deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. These are the children of darkness who we listen to. If we listen to greed, you know, one of the greatest deceptive sins is greed. The sons of light should divest themselves of every impulse for greed. We should seek not the things of the world, for the Gentiles seek after those things. You are commanded to seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness. If we would take stock in the Scriptures and believe Yahweh's word, the way of peace, Yahweh says in Isaiah 59 and 8, my people have not known. There is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. We seek peace and have none, because we ask, but we ask amiss. And ladies and gentlemen, the time of Adam in the future, Adam, we have this hope that we know that there's a promise of redemption. That's the only reason that Adam stayed in this environment. Therefore, you became subjected to the same temptations as was the Messiah who came, and he was tempted in all points and yet remained faithful for the mission that was set before him. Now notice this. How many men do you know that are continued to be influenced by Satan, the devil, as were Adam and Eve? You're no different. How large is Satan's sphere of influence? It's possible for him to be an invisible ruler of this world and continue to influence people to disobey the Creator in His warnings, just as He did with the first two in the garden, Adam and Eve, as it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, in whom the God of this world, the day that you eat it, you shall become gods. Satan wanted to share that knowledge that we have the capacity or the power out of the things that were created to reassemble these things and create. And yet the difference between that man and the man that should have been here, the first Adam, who was of the earth earthly, is not the second Adam who created out of nothing. The difference between Satan, he's a counterfeit. He imitates. He has to have something to create something. Yahweh, in the difference between the second Adam, is Adam needed nothing to create something. The first Adam of the earth earthly, Satan, taken on the nature of Satan, had to have something to create. In other words, he had to borrow something that didn't belong to him, and it became illegal. It's illegal to use something that someone else made to make something and claim for your own. The Federal Reserve is one example of how they have created something out of nothing. Put value to it only because we lust for that. They tell us that that's money, and we lust for money. And yet we know that true wealth is in the just weights and measure of silver and gold. Today we're coming to the realization that Satan has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. In other words, the Word needs to shine through the darkness of your understanding and your carnal mind, that you could reach up into the heavens for the things that are not, to make them as they are, and all things are possible to them that believe. We need to start living in a new environment, not an environment of materials, but an environment of spirit that can make materials from nothing. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is death, as it's stated in Proverbs 14 and 12. And ladies and gentlemen, we have adopted the way of Satan, of seeing, hearing, smelling, and tasting, and that's why he came to deceive the very elect. And so it is with the things that are, as opposed to the things that are not, and we are held accountable, if you will, before the things that are here. When we use these things, it is illegal because they don't belong to us. The silver and gold, the cattle on the thousand hills, the earth is Yahweh's. Now, Yahweh put a curse on the earth. How do we take off the curse that we may prosper and be a part of the functioning of, the Bible said, a man is not crowned except that he strive lawfully. That is the agreement of what Adam did. He did not strive lawfully because he did freely eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. For he said, in the day that you eat, you shall surely die. Genesis 2:16. Now, Satan appeared to Eve and asked her if she would like to see the things to make her wise. And she said, yes. And a serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die if you eat of it. Because she had said, we shall die if we touch it. You shall surely not die, for God, Yahweh, knows that in the day that you eat it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. See, that brought man up to a confronting disposition of knowledge to confront God and to prove him wrong. Now we are constantly making things out of God's things and stealing from him. You know, there is a legal way to use things that are on the earth, and that is a 10% bounty paid back in the form of due worship. And then the exact taxes that Yahweh... Now, we'll be sure to pay Caesar's taxes. And Yahweh said this in a sense, render unto Caesar's that which is Caesar's and unto Yahweh. See, we'll render to Caesar because we got to pay it. It's against the law if we don't. We never look at ourselves as thieves stealing from Yahweh's things that's already here that Satan claimed if you will open your eyes, you can see these things. They were there all the time. But Adam and Eve couldn't see them because they had the ability to create out of things they could not see. I opened their eyes. They saw something there that was there for them to create or become creators and to create out of things that Yahweh had made. The earth is Yahweh's and the things therein. Legally, the only way that you can use things of the earth, which is the elements of iron and metals and implements and constructing buildings, Cain become a social worker. He wanted to make a something very good. He wanted to grow things. He wanted to give these things, in a sense, offer them up to Yahweh. He brought an offering to Yahweh out of the things that he had made, and these were Yahweh's, and Cain was a thief. He had stole them literally from the possessions that Yahweh had, and so he did not deserve these things. Abel, in a sense, took something that had life in it and killed it and took its blood for a covering of the disobedience and unbelief of Adam and Eve. And they then were receiving what we call the redemptive offering. Something covered that cannot any longer be seen. All these material things that we begin to steal and offer up and want Yahweh to bless them, you say, fine cities, that which is highly esteemed among man is an abomination to Yahweh. We build things out of the things that are here because we buy them from someone else and pay for them, and then we deliver them to the job, and we become builders of Yahweh's materials. We forget to pay Him, or if we get to we forget to ask Yahweh to take the curse off, and we forget to tell Yahweh that this belongs to Him, and we're offering it up, and we're paying the exact tax that Yahweh commanded, thou shalt not rob God. And yet we find ourselves, like I say, paying Caesar's taxes and forgetting to pay Yahweh. Now, because Yahweh has allowed man to choose his own course, this causes man to believe that God doesn't exist and will not exact or require to give an answer for what He's done. And yet He will. Now, if there is a God, why would He allow crime and war and disease? Why would He allow lying, cheating, and stealing, and murder, and envy? Simply because these are the dark side of evils, and there's always someone clothed in darkness that appears as light to offer you a good deal, a scheme, something for you to get ahead. And so we find man, instead of seeking you first the kingdom of heaven, he's out here trying to gather or to beat the system. It's like playing a lottery. You've got a better chance of getting struck by lightning two times in a row than you have to win the lottery. And yet it still happens to that one lucky individual that hits the lottery. And yet we find that 90%, this is a proven fact, that 90% of those who hit the lottery to win the big one wind up miserable, broke, disillusioned, with no peace, because these things are the curse that are brought to you in a beautiful setting by the lying demons of darkness, with no one to repair the damage that it's caused us because we have forgot Yahweh, just like Adam and Eve forgot Yahweh's word and went out and became guilty of their deception. They were ashamed of their doings. They hid from Yahweh, just like we do today when we fail and come short. Instead of coming to Yahweh and coming clean, confessing our faults, ponying up, as the old saying goes, we find ourselves literally running with a guilty conscience because we've got this game illegal. We've done something that is not true and honest. We've robbed our Creator of the very things that He made to place, to try man. You know, if you had a gold mine, first of all, the scriptures teach that to obtain the gold mine, you would want to buy the field that the gold mine is in. However, Yahweh again demands whatever you extract from the earth or whatever blessing comes from the earth, unless you remove its curse, you are cursed with a curse. Listen to this. In the book of Job, chapter 14, verse 14, if a man dies, shall he live again? All the days of your service, I will wait till my change comes. You shall call, and I will answer you. you shall desire the work of your hands. It's important that you have a desire to work for Yahweh. Lay your treasures up where the thief and the rust does not canker it or corrupt it. First, offer it up with clean hands. You cannot lust and you have not. You don't get any satisfaction by having money. And yet, the Bible says money answers all things. It answers all things in the world because you can buy the things that are in the world that are not yours. When you take possession of it, you get a deed to, or a title, and you say, that's mine. And yet we lose sight that it belonged to Yahweh to begin with. Will a man rob Yahweh? You have robbed me in tithes and offerings, saith Yahweh. It's a con job by Satan when we forget to do those things which is necessary to pay Yahweh, so that we can get the job done for Yahweh. Yahweh wants you to spread the word that He owns all the silver and gold and the cattle on the thousand hills. That you play His lottery, not the devil's. That you reach out to Him, not the world. That you find help in Him, not the world. If you notice the great change that will bridge the gulf between mortal and immortal, the job is love. The only thing that will cover a man's sin is the life blood of love, of the brotherhood, banded together in brotherhood. You know, I've been disappointed in so many people because they fail and come short of having that perfect love that casts out fear. They have a fear of losing what they've got, because they've literally stole it from Yahweh. And when Yahweh and His man is around, He demands a certain restitution. And you got to understand spiritually that all that proceeds from a spiritual creation, Yahweh did not create man as a spirit. He created man out of the dust of the earth. Genesis 2 and 7. That's related again in Genesis 3:19. Now, a lot of people argue that Adam had God's Holy Spirit. After all, he was created perfect. Now, notice this. It was a physical Adam that was made. And just like it was Satan who was created, there was a fault found in him. As it proved to be. If you'll give the devil enough rope, he'll hang himself. If he loves the things, he will prove himself guilty by the sin of disobedience. He will not put Yahweh first. He will not prefer his brother above himself. He's selfish. He wants to take care of his own physical needs. And Yahweh said, flesh and blood shall not inherit, and yet man still believes that he can die and take it with him. By robbing Yahweh, and by having this is what went on in the garden. This is what brought the disillusion. This is what brought chaos and darkness in the time before Adam. You see, the world had already come to darkness. Darkness was already in the world. Death was already in the world when Adam was created out of the dust of the ground. The original Adam, which is now the second Adam, because the first Adam was the earth earthly. A lot of people got it wrong. They think that Adam was created a spirit being. And it don't say that. It said that Adam was made from the dust of the ground. He's a dust man. Dust thou art, and dust thou shalt return. Flesh and blood shall not enter heaven, because there's no works that a man can do, because he's working with someone else's material. understand what I'm talking about. When you see things, you lust for them. If you don't have money, you still lust. The less money you have, the stronger the lust is to get it. Satan is a thief. He'll steal it if he can. He'll misuse people if he can. He will bring guilt upon you. He will steal, kill, and destroy just to get something that doesn't belong to him to start with. But he'll make you think that you deserve it. You're worthy of it. And ladies and gentlemen, the scripture says that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, holy people, zealous of good works, Titus 2:14, that we might have the evidence of salvation through faith. For that which is seen, the things of the world, the things that we lust for, the beauty, and the things that we could make as gods, we have failed in our own lust. We have become the Satan. Our own flesh and blood is satanic inspired. We have a carnal mind. The way to redeem ourselves and to escape that which is inevitable, for no thief shall enter in, no murderer shall enter in, no luster, or no perverter. These things are what keeps us from reaching the perfected state. And when Peter told them in Acts 2:38 for them to repent and to be baptized in the name of the Messiah for the remission of sins, he said, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The same teaching proceeded to the 8th chapter where Simon the sorcerer, the evil one, he desired this. Satan has always been a worshiper. And he brings things that were already created. He's always looking for something original. You are the creator. You are a special people, a chosen people, a royal priesthood. So therefore, the life is in the blood. No wonder that Abel had the revelation. He knowed that what he had life in it. He knew that which was from the earth or the earth earthly, as Cain, the tiller of the ground, brought it back, something that he had produced from the ground, which was something that did not originate with Cain. It was already there, and he offered it up to Yahweh. He, in a sense, stole from Yahweh and come back as a thief, and offered up an unacceptable sacrifice, just like we do every day. And I'm telling you something about even the people of unbelief that tithe. In a sense, there is a certain reward for those who even have the revelation of what tithing is all about and how important it is to have a place that Yahweh said, you have stole or you have robbed. And they said, how have we robbed? The first step towards salvation is a change of mind. A recognition that your ways are not those of Yahweh. And that your sins have separated you from Him. And that your repentance means that you are now recognizing and confessing your sins. And that the godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation not to be regretted. But the sorrow of the world produces death. As long as you are offering up unacceptable sacrifices, the works of your own hand, as opposed to the blood covering, or accepting the recognition of things that has an attachment back to the cross, which is the life and the blood. So it was blood that was given, the first transfusion of blood into the womb of flesh and blood produced the image of Satan. And that which is demanded is a change. For Yahweh began to preach in Matthew 4:17, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. A leper can't change his spots, and you can't repent if you don't have a space to repent of. Cain could not repent. He was not in the repentant mode. He did not have the correct genetics to repent. He was a devil from the very beginning, according to John 8:44. He was a thief. This is the same one that stole Yahweh's possessions, come and set a claim on them, just like we do today. We follow the example of the dark ones, when we ourselves, instead of offering it to Yahweh, and that Yahweh giving us 90% back. You see, when you give it to Yahweh, you give Him all. Yahweh said He would bless it fourfold and run it over. This is the way to give. To give is better than to gift. That's what Yahweh was meaning. To give something that don't belong to you makes you a thief. You get into the league of Satan because he is the author of thievery. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Those things which are made for the two physical eyes. And Yahweh said, seek not that which appears through the eyes, because it's not yours. Take it. If you do take it, bring it to Yahweh and offer it all to Him. And Yahweh is commanded to give you back 90% just because you brought it. You see, Cain had to bring something. He brought the works of his own hands. Abel brought something. He brought the covering. And in this sense, the life and the blood was the revelation that Yahweh was looking for. And Yahweh was willing to forgive Abel's transgression through his mother and his father, and to cover and change his life. And for this, the works became righteous instead of thievery. Cain's work was evil. Though he sought it with repentance, as did Esau, yet he could not obtain it because he was a murderer and a thief. Before he was ever born, he was hated. And for this, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of Yahweh, who gives to all liberally and without reproach. It shall be given to him if he asks aright. Most of the time, under Satan's leadership, we ask amiss. We have to consume it upon our lust. We want things because we lust for things. If we wanted Yahweh as bad as we wanted a new car, we'd work for Yahweh a lot longer than we would for the dark things to produce a new car. I know when I preached and got my first car, brand new car, it was given to me. It didn't cost me one penny. I worked for Yahweh. Up until that time, I was driving an old beat-up jalopy. The muffler fell off of it, and that's how that I really got the blessing. The lady seen that I needed something, and out of nothing, my faith produced a willingness in her heart to come and lay down $10,000 at the car dealer, and she bought me a brand new car. Love, mercy, and faith, gentleness, and kindness, centered in the will to serve Yahweh. You cannot outgive Him. You cannot outpay Him. He's the ultimate payer. Satan come to steal. Yahweh come to bless you fourfold and press it down and run it over. The children of light, who have run in greedily after the things of the prophet Balaam, went greedily. Balaam was a prophet of Yahweh, and yet he ran greedily after the error of the things that he could see, silver and gold in this case. He wanted to curse Yahweh's children. He asked, but he asked amiss. And Yahweh took those things that he sought and hid them and made it a reproach unto him, made it a curse unto him. And Balaam, after the example, looked down upon the tents and the beauty of Israel and said, how can I curse that which is blessed? My question to you, how can you bless that which is cursed? If you come into this world and seek the things of the world, this is the chaotic condition that existed before Adam. Today it still exists and will until Yahweh comes, and we will have a new kingdom, a new world wherein dwelleth righteousness, where all of darkness, where all of jealousy, where all of envy, for those who have ran greedily after the error of Balaam, they voluntarily chose to follow the way of the children of darkness. They set you up for the deal. They make it less than honorable, but you still go for it because it's a deal. You can't resist it. You got to get it because it's the world that you live in. What does Yahweh say? Seek not the things that the world seeks for. Remember that our Messiah came as an example. Though he was a son, he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. If you're not willing to suffer, you're complaining about suffering and there's nothing being done for you, it means that you must perfect yourself through suffering. Perfect love casts out fear. If you've got love and you're not of the world, you don't want the world, you don't desire the world, you've got to be content. A man with 50 cents is not content. It's worse than a rich man that is. And although I've never met a rich, content man, he seems to enjoy having power through money. And that sense gives him a contentment. And yet he's all men most miserable, because though who would obey Yahweh, called as a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8. You have this spiritually perfection because Yahweh met Abraham, and Abraham met Yahweh and gave him that which he had stolen, taken from the evil kings, and though it belonged to Abraham with force, he paid tithes to Melchizedek, a tenth. Jacob said, Yahweh, if you will bless me, and you will not leave me or not forsake me, then I will give you a tenth of everything that I earn. There's a reason that the children of light have got this knowledge. And I've noticed the people that tithe to our ministry, there's a certain blessing, a certain aura, a certain glow. And the people that don't, they're down, out, trodden, always trying to get ahead through disobedience. The way you get ahead is through obedience of Deuteronomy chapter 28. We've read that whole chapter here on the altar, sitting here worshiping Yahweh just last week. And today it's perfecting into my spirit an urge to tell you, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask Yahweh, who gives to all liberally and without reproach. It shall be given to him. But if you ask for this, and you ask amiss to consume it upon your own lust, you will reap unhappiness, fear, misery, and death. That all is a result from transgressing Yahweh's laws. If you don't love Yahweh and protect the things that he has upon earth, since your eyes have been opened, you must understand that those things are what Yahweh creates from. It is Yahweh's power to give you these blessings. And yet we want to steal them from Yahweh and ask Him to bless it. A faith that steals will never be blessed by Yahweh. And that's exactly why that we can't get ahead, because we are running after the heir of Balaam. You know how the quickest way to get ahead? These are nothing. Quit chasing that, and it'll come to you. As long as you chase it, it'll run from you. You quit chasing, it'll chase you. He said, I'll run you down. I will overtake you with blessings. If you don't desire blessings, I will bless you. If you desire them in an unauthorized way, when Adam's eyes were open, when Eve's eyes were open, this wisdom of darkness came upon them. You see, a wise man is someone that builds cities as a Canaanite approach to heaven. You may be an architect and you may build great cities and you may have all kinds of glory and honor heaped upon you. But in the world to come, if you haven't built your city that cannot be seen, you cannot live in the one that you can see. For it is the things that are not seen which perfect the saints of righteousness to obtain those things which cannot be seen through the law of love. And so then, the war between the sons of darkness and the sons of light continue until we see the real light that shines in our heart. May Yahweh liberally bless you and give you wisdom. Not the wisdom of the world, but the wisdom to know that the things which are seen are not that which is a blessing. It's the things that are not seen which are to bless you. So let's change our thought process. And you're listening to Pastor Buddy tonight, and I'm so thankful to be among you tonight. May Yahweh richly bless and keep you. May He prosper you in the ways of the things that are not seen, which you can have through perfected love. You can enjoy the blessings that come with it. You can write me tonight. That's Pastor Buddy on brand new address. Post Office Box 568, Sweetwater, Tennessee 37874. Now that's Pastor Buddy. Post Office Box 568, Sweetwater, Tennessee 37874. I'll be looking for your letter, and we urge you to support the Kingsgate Inn. We've got a lot of projects going on right now. We've been very busy over the last 2 months, nonstop, and yet my energy level is incredible. I go from early in the morning to late at night, even doing a live radio show on top of it, and we are making things appear through faith. We are getting it legally. The Bible said a man is not crowned except he strive lawfully, and we have been awful blessed in the last 2 months thanks to those who believe in the things that cannot be seen to obtain the order of Melchizedek here upon this earth as a blessing. May Yahweh bless you. My phone number, area code 423-259-0606. Got a brand new phone number that will be installed tomorrow as planned. Let me give you a preemptive number here. It will not be in service probably until later this week. But this is the new number that's here at the office of the Kingsgate Inn. 423-351-1082. Again, sponsored by Brother Mark tonight. And Sister Audrey down in the great state of Mississippi, and all the loved ones who support Pastor Buddy with their tithes and offerings. That's 423-351-1082. That's 423-351-1082. Our new number here at the office at the Kingsgate Inn, which will be in service after tomorrow evening, we hope. May Yahweh take a good liking to you. May He bless you going, and may He bless you coming. We love you tonight. I'll see you Friday night around the world on WWRB 3.185 Clear Channel around the world on the transmitting gem and the jewel of the South right here in Morrison, Tennessee. Ladies and gentlemen, may Yahweh bless you. May He keep you as He did when Adam came back and surrendered for the purpose of knowing this. You have made Him a little lower than angels. You have crowned Him with glory and honor and set Him over the works of your hands. The works of His hands is faith, which cannot be seen. The works of Satan's hand is the god of this world. And he would tempt you. He offered it to the Messiah. You see what he done? He took the things of the world and said, I'll give you all this. You see, he knew. Yahweh knew that he was a thief. He was stealing from him things that he had made that the two eyes can see. It's the eyes of the blessed that cannot see. And he said, because you say you see, your sin remains. Therefore, he refused it and sought that which is by faith. That's what I advise you to do tonight. Let's grow in grace and knowledge. We're going to get in some of the deeper things as we go along here, as we get set up here at the King's Gate. And may Yahweh bless you. I'll see you Friday night, 9:30 around the world. WWRV 3.185. Thank you.